You're listening to WSIU Radio, powered by you, your NPR station. We're talking education reform today, and specifically school funding reform in Illinois this morning. And we're talking with both Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon, who has worked very much in the education realm since being elected there, as well as the sponsor of Senate Bill 16, Senator Andy Menar, who is out of Bunker Hill, which we concede is in southern Illinois somewhat, although you represent most of parts of central Illinois, Decatur and Springfield,
that's
correct?
That's right.
I want to thank you both for coming in, first of all.
Thank you.
And if we can just kind of start, I know a lot of people have heard small pieces of what this bill aims to do or what you've been working on, Senator, but what are your goals and what are you hoping to bring about through this legislation?
Our goal at the end of the day is to try to take a major step toward having a more equitable system in the state. Much of the work that the Lieutenant Governor's done, for example, has shown and shown everyone in the state has pointed a laser beam focus on what inequity does for our outcomes in public education. And the fact of the matter is, if we don't deal with this in some way, that gap is going to get greater. It's not going to get better on its own. So our goal with Senate Bill 16, I would say, is a continuation of many of the things that the Lieutenant Governor, for example, has done for many years. And now we have a bill that's a living, breathing piece of legislation in Springfield that undoubtedly is going to change. But our goal at the end of the day is to bring about equity to the greatest extent that we can in state law. And that's what the bill's designed to do.
I don't want to oversimplify how school funding works in Illinois because it's really complicated, but schools get money from local property taxes as well as money from the state through a couple of different ways. And it's long been lamented that schools in more rural areas, particularly in southern Illinois and in some parts of, say, central and west central Illinois, the property tax base just isn't the same as what you might see in the collar counties or in more developed areas. And that's where a big part of the inequality comes in. Is that really what you're working on?
Yeah, that's a major piece of what we're trying to tackle in the bill. But we've seen over the course of 17 years since the last effort was undertaken by a previous General Assembly in 1997 and then Governor Edgar, that the world has changed dramatically since 1997, but our school funding laws haven't changed at all. They've been virtually unchanged in 1997. And, you know, Sheila and I have talked about this many times, that you can just look around and see all the changes that have taken place, and you can see very clear challenges that in many cases aren't good, but we have to account for those things in a better way. We haven't done that with our law. And this is not so much a budgetary conversation at the moment as it is what does our law say and how should we get money from the state budget to the 865 school districts in the state. And we should account for that disparity in a greater way. And, you know, the intermingling between local funds and state funds is very much a piece of it. But at the root of what we're trying to say is acknowledge for those things and acknowledge that what we spend on public education should be prioritized for the neediest districts. And we don't do that today in this state.
And let me toss in that it's, from our perspective down here in southern Illinois, we see it as a rural school issue. But there are lots of urban areas in the state that have a similar lack of property value wealth to support their schools. So it's something that I think people across the state can see the need to just prioritize getting the job done. Of the money that we have to spend on education, how do we make sure that it gets to student need, to making sure that we get those results that we want out of our public education system?
On a more specific level, there are people who are familiar with EFAB, the Education Funding Advisory Board, that group that gets together every year and says, okay, this is how much each student in Illinois should receive through education funding. Sometimes it works out that way in the budget, and sometimes it doesn't. How does your bill change what EFAB does?
It doesn't change the goal of EFAB. EFAB's whole purpose is to decide what is adequate to achieve the outcome that we want as a state. What we focused on was the law, and how does the law govern the distribution of funds, which is not a conversation that deals with the budget or an appropriations bill. And at the root of what we came up with through our work throughout the state, our last hearing, for example, was in Waterloo, and the Lieutenant Governor sat through, along with us, about 5 hours worth of public testimony.
It was great. I loved it.
it was all, every step of the way, we focused on the idea that whether we have, you know, $9 billion to spend on public education, or whether we have $1 billion, which I hope we never get to that point, it matters how we distribute what we have. EFAB is a budgetary conversation. Senate Bill 16 focuses in a very disciplined way on how we distribute money, not how much we distribute.
So you're looking at balancing then what the state has available in terms of general revenue and what schools can pay in as a part of their property tax balance. Is
yeah,
that
and
right?
accounting for just the fact that there's tremendous disparity between what local taxing bodies can generate on their own, not because there's not an effort, but just because there's disparity in property wealth in the state to the extent that we've never seen. It's become highly concentrated in very specific communities that can on their own afford to pay for the outcome that we expect from public schools. There are some communities that we are very familiar with in our neck of the woods and throughout urban parts of the state that just can't do that without the state's help.
Obviously, in regions like this one, people are looking at this and saying, hey, this sounds good. It sounds like our children will end up getting more money. Our schools will be able to do some of the things that we have wanted to do for so long. But there are opponents to something like this. I assume that they're saying things like, if we have the ability to pay, why can't we give to our children what we want to give? Why can't they have a leg up? What is your answer to arguments like that?
Well, you know, I think the starting point of that question is important. I don't think that there really are opponents at this point, because the idea of the bill is fairness, is let's calculate how much it's going to take to address student need. And we have better information on that. And I have to credit Senator Menard and his committee for really looking around the country. What are the best models out there? What do we know now that we didn't know 17 years ago about, for example, how much it takes by way of resources to educate someone who's an English language learner rather than someone who's grown up speaking English? And they've been able to work that into the formula. So at this point, we're still waiting on some calculations to find out exactly how it will affect different school districts. But I've been really pleased. I think the Senator Menard's committee, and it was a bipartisan statewide committee that really did a lot of work and a lot of digging. That work is paying off in what we're seeing, that that people have questions, and we're trying to get the questions addressed. We're going to be talking with some school superintendents later today in a continuing effort to address those questions. But so far, we've really heard a good deal of support for the concept of equity.
We should mention that Senator Dave Lechtefeld from this region was on that committee. He was one of the co-chairs of the committee, and he has an education background. I'm sure he had quite a bit to say when it had to come to, you know, here are things that are necessary and here are things that maybe we can work around. Lieutenant Governor, we have talked in the past about saving money in education, and there was a proposal not all that long ago about consolidating school districts, and everybody mm-hmm. went, oh no, wait.
Right.
We can't do this. How much is, I don't want to use the consolidation word, but how much is that sharing of information that you talked about and sharing of resources a part of the ideas within this bill?
I think those are things that operate on independent tracks. I think every school district in Illinois has incentive to work cooperatively with other districts wherever they can to be able to direct the most amount of money to the classroom. So I think that's something that is operating on a continuing basis. And then this funding bill looks at, given how we know everyone's resources are stretched, how do we best allocate those resources that we have? I'd just like to add, you know, in terms of that issue of cooperation, I know that since that commission that we had that looked at how do we operate efficiently and effectively, There are now two pools that are starting up for combined health insurance to buy for school districts to buy them together. So it's something that that was a smart idea. Lots of people are grabbing on. We're going to be seeing, I think, across the state, districts that are able to save a little bit of money in that direction and the administrative costs and direct it more towards what we really want our education to go to, which is the actual classroom learning.
Senator, you've mentioned a couple of times that this is not so much a budget discussion as much as it's a policy and a law discussion. So how many different policies, how many different laws are having to be modified as a result of this bill? Is that part of the hurdle that you're having to jump?
There's quite a few, but I would argue that that we need to modify quite a few. And the changes that we're suggesting in the bill are very appropriate changes based on public testimony that occurred across the state over, you know, an 8-month period of time, and hours and hours of input from the public and from educators and from parents and organizations. So there are sizable changes that are contained in Senate Bill 16 today, as it has been filed now for about a month in the public spectrum. But I would argue that those things are appropriate changes that we should enact in the state today. We can always think of a reason not to do this, right? We can always come up with a reason, whether it's politics or whether because it's tough, whether because it's an election year, you name it. We can always come up with a reason in Illinois why not to do or proceed with a bill like this. But we have to make sure that everything we spend for public education is a meaningful expenditure. You know, Lieutenant Governor, I have to hand it to her for her efforts to kind of, I would say, redefine what consolidation means. You know, we think, you know, if you grew up in a small town and live in a small town like I do with 1,807 people in it, you think of consolidation as losing your identity as a town or losing your school. But there's also things that can be done that she led the effort on to say we can share services. You know, we can pool what we do to reduce the cost for school districts. That's consolidation in a sense, because you may not be, you know, closing a building down, or you may not be building a cooperative high school, but you're saving money that allows for more money to be spent in a classroom where the need is, so we can get the outcome that we desire. And those are the types of things that I think we should do more of. And in the spirit of that, that's what Senate Bill 16 is designed to do, is to make sure that everything that we spend in public education, regardless of how much is there, should be spent in a meaningful way, targeted to the place where we need the most result from.
If we can get into a little bit more of the specifics of the bill, we've talked a little about how it combines general state aid, the money that comes from the state, as well as the local contributions from property taxes. A lot of people have watched since 1997 how there have been new portions of the money that have been geared towards specific districts. If they have a large poverty population, then they get a little bit extra in a special grant, or if it's an, you know, very urban or transportation grants, lots of different things that are targeted in specific ways. Do those go away? Does every student then have, this is how much money we have to spend, and this is what you're going to get?
In a large part, you know, the premise of the bill is based on the idea that we're one of the few states, if not the only state, that spends less than half of our public education budget on programs based on need. So we're an anomaly in the country, not just among our peer states, but among every state in the union. So if we spend less than half of the money that we appropriate in any given year on programs that consider need as a basis for how they're distributed, the neediest districts start off behind before the switch is flipped on July 1st when a state budget begins to exercise itself. So that's got to change. And so what we're proposing in the bill is nearly every program should be based on need. And that would streamline some things. We wouldn't have competing programs in the State Board of Education's budget. We wouldn't have programs that are simple reimbursements without any consideration of efficiency. We wouldn't have, you know, dozens of different grant applications for school districts that are very different in nature, that have different paperwork and different bureaucracy attached to them. all these programs were created over time to appease a certain constituency without taking into consideration that the purpose of state involvement in public education, in my mind, ought to be, number one, to equalize the gap that exists today. And we've gotten away from that over any number of years. And that's nobody's fault. I'm not here to blame anybody. We should just recognize that we own that today, and we should try to fix it. And that's what the bill, again, is designed to do, is to streamline things, put things in a more, one bucket of money, and to use need as its criteria for how it's distributed.
So you've both talked about how you've been meeting with school officials, superintendents, principals, and the like. When you talk about changing those categoricals, as they're known, and those other grant programs, which have, I don't want to use the word supplemented state funding, but that's kind of what they have done in some areas. Are they a little bit nervous about how that will work to make sure that they don't lose money in the deal?
I think, change can be scary, mm-hmm. and there are lots of questions. But I think what's scarier than that to me, and I think this is what I hear from people that I run into, is the idea that we have limited state funds, and if we have to have another budget cut, that those cuts would be prorated in our current budget system, which has the absolutely absurd result that the school districts that need state funds the most take the hardest hit. It is backwards targeting. And if we can straighten out our funding formula, then that very scary prospect is not something we have to worry about. Funds will be distributed based on need. It might be limited, but we're not going to target as our first place to take money from the neediest schools.
So you can't get away with talking about a bill without talking about the politics in Springfield.
Of course.
How is the bill being received? What's your status at this point, and are you hopeful to get it out of the legislature by the end of May?
I think it's been received, all in all, I think it's been received very positively. There's, of course, criticism of the bill. No bill should be without criticism, certainly one of this magnitude. When we filed the bill, Senator Lightford, Senator Nolan, and Senator Bush and myself, we filed the bill. We asked for public criticism. I mean, we filed the bill early in the process. We didn't wait to negotiate a bill behind closed doors, which is a political process. We wanted individuals across the state to focus on the policy aspect and be critical of the legislation, knowing that that would lead to a better result at the end of the day. So I think that's been a healthy process. We forced the conversation on Springfield, and that's something that is long overdue, but we have a long ways to go. I believe we'll have a vote in the Senate. I believe it's going to be a difficult vote, but as the Lieutenant Governor said, what we should put that up against is what we are doing today and where we're going to be in 2 years under the current system, which I would say any day of the week is a scarier proposition than what Senate Bill 16 represents. And I've urged legislators to put those two things up against each other when they think about Senate Bill 16. And, if they have ideas, I've opened the door to amendments. If they want to, file an amendment procedurally to change the bill with an effort to getting at more equity, greater equity, then I'm all ears. I stand ready to open up that process and allow amendments to come on the bill. That's how we're going to get it done. Embroiling it in politics and, an election that's coming up in several months, that will never get the job done, and that's probably one reason we haven't gotten it done. But the process has been a good one. I'm hopeful about its prospects.
From the administration side of things, is this something that the governor has endorsed in any way, or have you had any conversations about it?
The governor, I know this is one of the things I admire about him most, is that he has been a longtime advocate of equity in public schools. He understands the value of public education, and we're looking forward, to having this bill or something very close to it with any improvements along the way passed so that we can get these changes having an impact on kids in school in Illinois.
We should let people know that if they'd like more information about this bill, you can look it up, as you can look up any bill in the legislature online. Go to ilga.gov And then when you get to that home page on the left-hand side, there's a way that you can look up the bill number. It is Senate Bill 16. So if you're searching for it on that website, just do SB16, and you'll be able to find the full text of the bill as well as its status, sponsors, co-sponsors, all the information that you might be looking at from one way or another. Over the next, say, 6 weeks till the scheduled end of session, what are your plans? What are your hopes, Senator?
Well, first thing we're going to do is we're going to continue to work with all members of the Senate to get further feedback on the bill. You know, as the Lieutenant Governor mentioned, we're going to have a meeting here today to continue that effort with local educators. I'm going to continue to talk to Senator Luchtefeld, who during the course of our public hearing process dating back to last August, I mean, has just, in my mind, stepped up to the plate, has done a phenomenal job of making sure that politics doesn't creep into the conversation. And he's done, you know, as an educator, I think he knows the importance of this issue. It's very clear to me that he's going to continue that effort as well. So we just have to continue to tighten up the language, ask for input, and try to put a coalition together to pass the bill. This isn't going to be something that gets done because only certain members of one party vote for it, or because only certain members from one part of the state vote for it, because this is an issue that absent of change is going to cause severe disparity to just continue for every public school district in the state. And so we have to continue to build that coalition, and that's what we've been trying to do for several weeks now.
Sure. Lieutenant Governor, anything else that you'd like to add as we close?
Just one example to make it a reality. I was reading a University of Illinois publication last night, and it mentioned two school districts, one where the per-student funding is about $26,000 and one where the per-student funding is about $6,000. That's the state of Illinois we live in, and we can't move forward as a state with that kind of disparity. That has a negative impact on all of us, whether you're in the $6,000 school or the $26,000 school.
Fair enough. Senator Andy Menard, Lieutenant Governor Sheila Simon, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.